Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning and appreciate what you would have us to learn for this day, I pray for your Holy Spirit that we may see clearly the message and apply it to our own hearts. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Here is given a challenge for us all to consider. To be humble. To be humble. To not draw attention to ourselves with whatever we do, do we do it with all of our might, as if unto God. That whatever we do, that we are willing to give glory to God and let Him have the praise. I hope you have your Bibles because we're going to use them this morning. Psalms 112. In verse 1 reads, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 75 and verse 1 reads, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The focus of these verses, where is it? The focus is not upon looking at ourselves, but rather the focus is in looking up to God. That we are willing that the name of God be lifted up and not ourselves. You know, while we may be willing to acknowledge the truth of this matter, yet how easy it is to look to ourselves and to think that we are worthy of praise for what we do. And yet, where does success come from in the end, if only we are to be honest? God. Doesn't it come from our Father in heaven? And yet, how many of us are eager to say, we'll have the praise? How we all need to be careful that we don't fall into this trap. Come with me back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and now in verse 2 says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, what a statement is being made here. What a challenge. God sees through you. God is not fooled. The fact is that God sees us just as we are. There is no getting away from it. I'm reminded. I used to have a scrapbook once. I used to keep in the clippings of interesting situations I read about that tickled my sense of humour, I guess. But one thing I remember keeping hold of was a story that very aptly fits this. It was a wedding that took place in Melbourne years ago. It was an Italian wedding. The wedding service went off brilliantly well. The wedding reception was going off brilliantly well. And of course, they danced the night away, and the bride's father, of course, he was the one who was paying for it. And the people who owned the reception place came to him with the bill, as it were, and he knew what it was going to be, and he reached into his coat pocket to pull out the envelope that had the check in it, but it was not there. So rather than cause an embarrassment or cause any fuss, he wrote out another check and handed it over. That was fine. But after most of the guests had gone, someone decided to play back a video of the whole event. Videos don't lie. The video showed the wonderful wedding that took place. The video also showed the wining and the dining and the dancing. And what the video also showed, the groom's father putting his hand into the jacket when it was on the back of the seat and taking out the check. Needless to say, there was a bit of excitement and the marriage was annulled on the spot. God sees you. He doesn't need a video camera. He sees you. God isn't fooled. God doesn't fool. God is not fooled. Romans 12. Come with me there. Romans chapter 12. Here Paul makes a point. The Apostle Paul makes a point. Romans 12, 8 and 9. Go back to verse 7. All ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let it do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Proverbs 11, verse 25 and 26. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Here the point is being made that whatever we do it with all our might, that we do it with a cheerful heart. Don't look for the reward, but that all we do with a willing heart and mind. But I guess at this place, this point, we could ask ourselves the question, do I have a willing heart? Am I always looking for the good of others? Or do I want to be noticed in all I do? How easy it is to fall into the trap that we feel that we need to get more credit in what we do. And yet, while we might be right at times, yet how we must always remember that Jesus did much more for us than what we can ever give him the credit for. Jesus gave everything. He gave everything. Matthew 6. And in verse 3 it says, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth." Again, it seems that the point is being hit home. Do it quietly. Do it quietly. I remember a person in Warburton passed away many years ago. Big funeral. But there was one gentleman I used to work with. He decided, no, I'm not going to go to the funeral. I thought, why not? I'm doing something else. He had a truck. And he got himself a big container and filled it with oil. And he put it in her oil heater. No one knew. No one would have thought of it. You see, did it quietly. Can we do things quietly? How we all like to be, hey, how great I am. But just to do things quietly and say, hey, here's a need, do it. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. There's a need, just do it. Psalms 56. And in 10 and 11 it says, "In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." My trust is in God, not a man. Let God get the credit. Let God get the credit. Psalms 25. With God leading us day by day, with God being the one who we put our focus on. In Psalms 25, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Here the place of the heart is very clear. Here the person is willing to look up to their Father in heaven to be a guide day by day. And how we all need to be willing to look up to God, our Father in heaven, for leadership every day, every hour, every week. Are we willing for God to lead us? Are we willing to for God to do the leading? It all sounds so easy at times. But it's not. Because how often self gets in the way. Self wants its own way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, the point of this verse reminds us, where is our focus? You see, the sad reality is that life on the things of this earth does not last forever. In fact, whatever we have will come to an end. And for some it can happen quickly, for others it can happen slowly. Like the other day, I was down at Warburton. Warburton is not what I remember back in the 80s when the Warburton church was packed. The church that can hold about 650, 700 now only has about 80. Only because of institutions dying and whatever. But I was visiting someone who I knew at the nursing home there. I used to work with at the signs. And I was chatting with Dave and then I heard someone else yelling in the background. I said, "Who's that?" He said, "Well, that's Warren." And I thought, boy, how fragile life can be. How fragile. Person who was strong, who drove trucks all his life. Well, his retirement life, he never didn't seem to know how to retire. Now in a nursing home, mind completely gone, calling out to his mother, and he's 90. Sad. Tragic. Where is our focus? Life comes to an end. And as you take in the scene of a person who is losing it all in more ways than one, you begin to appreciate that life is fragile. Our only hope is in the one who made us. Heaven is our only hope. Whatever we may boast about here amounts up to nothing when life is coming to an end. Matthew 6. And in verse 4 continues on. That thy alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Do it in secret. Don't make a fuss. Don't make a show. You know, interesting enough, Jesus made a comment elsewhere we're going to look at. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. And beginning with verse 12, Jesus says, "Then said he also unto him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, do not call thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbour, lest they bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, callest the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Here the point is being made and how true it is. We like to invite people home for a meal, yes, but who do we invite? Do we invite those who can never return the favour, or do we invite those who we think will do the same back to us one day? It is easy to think of doing things that we get pleasure out of, but do we really think of going the extra mile when it takes us out of our comfort zone? We all like to be comfortable. We all like to do things safely. And yet, here Jesus asking us to go out of our comfort zone and to not expect anything in return. Is it fair? Is it just? But then again, what did Jesus do? Jesus went out of his comfort zone to save one lost planet. I guess all we have to do is look at the cross and what he did there and ask ourselves the question, hey, do I deserve it? Are we all being good every day? And yet Jesus was still willing to give all for us. He died on that cross. But in getting the point across as to what it means by the four verses we are looking at, I'm reminded of a situation of Jesus in the temple. A situation he took note of. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Jesus in the temple. The audience is there, listening and hanging on every word. And Jesus says these words in 46, Luke 20, 46. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive a greater damnation. What a comment. How true. People who do make a show of themselves will have the reward. People who like to be noticed will have the reward. But how shallow the reward can be. The limelight doesn't last forever. The lights do grow dim and then fade away. I remember the point one day I was doing the PA system at Warburton. A younger fellow was beside me, as well as a gentleman my age. Being up there, I made a wise crack. This was before Sabbath school started. There was only three of us in the building. It was a beautiful PA system. I wonder how it would go with Elvis Presley belting out Jailhouse Rock. And the older person said to me, Paul, I bet this young person doesn't know who Elvis Presley is, let alone Jailhouse Rock. And I said to the young person, you do know who I'm talking about, don't you? No. Everything fades. Everything lasts only for a season. It's like walking into a news agency and I see a beautiful cushion with an old picture of Marilyn Monroe in it. And I think, boy, the younger ones wouldn't know who the picture is anymore. People fade. People fade. But then we read the contrast. Luke 21. Luke 21. And he looked up, Jesus looked up, and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor lady, this poor widow, hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of a penury had cast in all the living that she had. What a contrast. What a reaction. I'm sure that the lady would have put into the offer, as she put it in that day, she would have hoped that she would not be noticed. But she was. By Christ. And the same applies to us. It might only be a little thing you think you're doing. No one sees, no one cares, but hey, God does. God sees the little things we do. You know, think about it. If every man, woman, boy and girl gave just $1 in Australia, what have you got? Over 20 million. Just $1 each. That's the power of just $1. If everyone doing that little bit, what a difference it makes. Better than one person giving 100,000. And while what we may do may not seem much in the eyes of the world, but what we do will be noticed by the one who made us all. Just as Jesus saw the lady casting in the two mites, so he sees the good that you and I may do. That may seem a little value, but it's of high value to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. But the key is in verse 31, whatever you do, do it to God's glory. Do not consider who you are helping, but rather in all things that you do, do it to win some soul for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gave everything to save you. And today he asks that we be willing to do the same for some other person. So be faithful. Be humble. For great will be your reward when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. Dear kind Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, may we leave it with a desire that we will be like Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that Jesus has done. And may we give our hearts to him all the more day by day. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.